So when John writes his gospel, he tells us about Jesus in a very different way than the other three writers. They tell a chronological story. They try to gather all the evidence about who Jesus was and present it in one big picture. But John does it by telling cameo stories. He focuses in on one-on-one encounters that Jesus had with individuals as a way of telling us what Jesus can do in our lives. In our passage this morning, John, the gospel writer, zooms in on John the Baptist for this particular cameo experience. As the story opens, both Jesus and John are baptizing. They happen to be near one another because there's a lot of water in this place in the Judean wilderness. And a shift is beginning to occur. More and more people are going to Jesus to be baptized, and fewer people are turning to John. And a well-meaning Jew who had been following John the Baptist came to him to point out this transition, this shift that was happening. He said, "Do you remember that man that you pointed to back at the Jordan River? Well, he's here. He's in the neighborhood too, and everyone is going over to him." That man was just trying to protect John's turf. He saw Jesus as an interloper who was stealing John's thunder, the great prophet of Israel. John could have responded as if Jesus was a rival, because sometimes we have a hard time letting go when it's time to retire. Was that your situation? Pastors have a hard time retiring. So we have this tradition in the Presbyterian Church that when you retire as a pastor, you're not allowed to attend the church you had just served. So we have to move on so the congregation can form new bonds with their new pastor, because former pastors, they have a hard time letting go of the baton. They have a way of meddling where they don't belong. John could have been like that relay runner who, when he finished his leg of the race and found the next runner running in stride behind him and was reaching back with his baton to pass it off, he could have held on to the baton and it would have been a train wreck. But John didn't see Jesus as a rival. He saw Jesus as the fulfillment of his deepest longing. John had been preparing the nation of Israel for the coming of Jesus as the Messiah, as his life's work. It was his deepest desire, his life's ambition, that the world would see Christ as the Messiah. And now he could see this coming to fulfillment. It was happening right now as everybody started to follow after Jesus. John did not surrender the hope of seeing the Messiah. He never let go of his calling. He believed that he would see God's anointed one. He trusted that God would answer that deepest prayer by letting him see the Messiah with his own eyes. Advent is about the promised fulfillment of our deepest longing. Advent is about the promised fulfillment of what you long for most. And what we discover is our longing is that God might bridge the gap and show himself to us. That's been our prayer at every crisis moment of our lives. God, show yourself. That's our deepest longing. It's the prayer we pray most often. God, show yourself. Because every time there's an injustice that has denied us what is rightly ours, every time our hearts are broken by someone we trusted, every unexpected illness or accident that left our bodies shattered, we wonder, God, where are you? God, why did you let this happen? And we pray, God, even now, if you were only to show yourself to me, I believe I could endure these crushing losses. But so often, God seems silent or absent. Until now. At Advent, we remember that God did show himself. And we rehearse together how God came to us in the person of Jesus. Not just for a quick visit, not just for a temporary stay, like the queen visiting her people after a natural disaster or the president visiting the troops in the battlefield. Jesus didn't make a temporary visit. He became forever one with us. Jesus joined us. He became one of us by being born among us. He became fully human without abandoning anything that made him God. And he remained one with us. He remained human with us even now. This is what we celebrate at Christmas, God answering all of those prayers. When every human being who has ever lived cried out to God, show yourself. What we celebrate at Advent is the reigniting of our hope. We're reassured in the season that it is good and right to hope for God to come to us. Those prayers that came from the bottom of our hearts when we were in distress were not in vain. In Advent, we're told to return to that longing. We're told to wait there because we will see Jesus just like John did with our own eyes. It's easy, though, to think that we missed it, isn't it? We missed his arrival by about 2,000 years because he was born a long time ago. But Jesus isn't buried in the past. He's not stuck in the memories of a few, John the Baptist, the 12, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Jesus comes to each of us, and he shows himself to us. He comes to us not just in the memories of those we read about in the Bible, but he comes to us in personal encounter. For everyone who will wait and listen and long for his coming. You're not being asked to just accept a story from long ago. You're being encouraged to wait for your oldest, most frequent prayer to be satisfied, that God would show himself through Jesus to you. Jesus comes to us today through personal encounters. If Jesus could bridge time and space in the first century to be born among us, he can bridge time and space in your life and come to you too and show himself to you and reveal himself as God's son to you. You'll know it when you see him. How Jesus does this is different for everyone, but he shows himself in unmistakable ways for those who are waiting, for those who are listening, for those who are longing for him. It will be Jesus speaking to the deepest longings of your life and revealing that he is what you've longed for. Our problem is not that Jesus doesn't come to us, but rather that we give up waiting for him to arrive because we believed we already missed him, or because we defend ourselves from being disappointed. We're afraid that God won't show himself to us. And so we tamp down those desires. We tell ourselves we should lower our expectations. God showing himself to us is too much to ask. So we should just try to be satisfied with what we have. Stories about Jesus. His moral example to follow. And we should bind up our heartaches by ourselves. We should not hope for true healing. We should not hope for justice. We should not yearn for the innocence of a couple on their wedding day as we give ourselves completely to God in hope and joy and trust. But God has always revealed himself to those who long for him. So what makes you think that you're so special that you're excluded from that picture? God spoke with Abraham through strangers who turned out to be angelic visitors. God spoke to David through repeated rescues while in battle and through whispering to the deepest recesses of his heart when he was in worship. God placed a longing that felt like a burning in their bones in the souls of the prophets that could not be quenched so that they might point the way for our longing for God. God has answered us most fully in Jesus. As God has joined himself with humanity, becoming one with us forever. And God has answered us most recently by coming to each of us. As unmistakably as John seeing Jesus as the sum of all he had hoped for, unmistakably as the joy we feel when our hopes have been fulfilled, as Jesus shows himself to be God's Son. you've not ever met Jesus personally, experientially, or it's been a long time since you've seen him, dare to hope to meet him this Advent season. Dare to believe he will satisfy that longing. John the Baptist shows us how to wait for Jesus with this beautiful image of a wedding. He said, Jesus is the bridegroom, and I'm just the best friend. I'm the best man of the groom. In our weddings, it's brides who are the featured person who comes down the aisle. In John's metaphor, it's the groom. John's describing having everybody here for the wedding. He's got all the guests seated and expectant. The wedding party is in place. The bride is waiting down front. But the groom has not arrived yet. He's the one we're waiting for. And that's Jesus. But then we hear him. He enters the sanctuary singing because he is so excited to take the church as his bride to himself. And everyone here is ecstatic. This is what they've been waiting for. As the best friend of the groom, John waits for Jesus' arrival. He awaits the arrival of his friend. He's not afraid to stand with his longing for Jesus to come, so we're encouraged to gather up our longings and to wait for Jesus to meet us. Children can teach us how to wait with eager anticipation. They can't wait for Christmas Day. When they see all those gifts under the tree and they've found the ones with their names on them, they've given them a good shake to try to visualize what's inside there. They can picture Christmas Day as they're tearing into those packages because they want it so badly they can taste it. My children used to ask to be able to sleep underneath the Christmas tree on Christmas Eve so it could be that much closer to the gifts on Christmas Day. Dare to sleep beneath the Christmas tree this Advent season. Let your life's longing have their way. Let your deepest prayer stir hope. Let them remind you of what you want most from Jesus this year, then be willing to wait in eager anticipation like children for what Jesus will do. John shows us how to listen for the voice of the groom. This Advent season, we can lean into listening for the voice of Jesus. There's a lot of competing sounds we'll have to tune out. We can silence everything that would drown out the voice of Jesus and listen for the one true and loving voice of Jesus as he comes to us this Advent season. Make time to be quiet. It's such a busy season. Your day can be filled and you'll miss the voice of Jesus. But if you're quiet, if you hold your longings, you'll be better able to hear his voice when he draws near. Finally, John shows us to look for joy. That when Jesus does show himself, we'll know it because we'll feel that joy. The joy that God has met us, that God is all we've been waiting for, and we found him in the person of Jesus. Let's pray together. Holy Spirit, move among us. And stir up those longings that we have given up hope of ever being satisfied. Stir up those longings in us that we might be like children awaiting Christmas Day. Help us to sit with those longings so that you might come and speak to them and show yourself to be our Savior, the Son of God, the one who gives innocence, the one who brings justice, the one who loves us more than we could ever imagine. As we hold our longings out to you, we pray that you would change them this season into a sense of having been met, fulfilled, satisfied because you stand in front of us with all we need. All our lives we've been praying that you would show yourself. You have. Show yourself again to us and to our world in need. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.